Orzechowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Top of the hour, we have, I believe, a press conference breaking right now in Las Vegas. Is that, guys, is that up?
We'll turn it over to
we're going to cut to that right now.
A few words.
I just have a very few words I'd like to say. Again, this is, I've had several of these today, and it's been a long, long day for a lot of us, but I just left Mr. Jim Murren. I want to have a special thank you to two groups that we had our first responders. Obviously, our medical personnel responded, but for the fact of the great work done by the men and women of Metro and the security at Mandalay Bay, we would have lost hundreds, if not thousands, more lives. I mean, they were able to triangulate and locate that room and get people in there and saved countless lives. And for that, we will be eternally grateful for the work that you did. And in conjunction with MGM, we did set up with the sheriff the GoFundMe campaign, and I appreciate Todd saying something. As when I walked in here, we have received an excess of 30,000 donations, exceeding $2.2 million. When we started it, we set the goal at $500,000. We got to $100,000, and one individual called and said, I will get you to your goal. And he donated $400,000. That individual was anonymous until now. He has said that we could release his name. It was Stephen Klubeck, donated $400,000 to support this community. We ask you all to support our community. And again, I'd like to ask you, next time you see one of our first responders, whether it be Metro or it be fire or what have you, tell them thank you, because we owe them an eternal debt of gratitude for what they did. And I've got some other speakers, Congressman Titus, and I know they have a few words to say. Senator Mastodon.
Well, thank you very much. This horrendous act of evil happened right in the heart of District 1, which I'm honored to represent. The whole day has revolved around that act. It's been police briefings and talking with the FBI, visiting hospitals, all the things that kind of are associated with an act of war. But we also heard stories of individual heroism, people helping others through the gate, over the fence, shielding their bodies, standing in line for blood. Those are the kind of stories that we need to focus on. And it's so appropriate that we've ended the day with an ecumenical church service on the Strip, where we gather to grieve for the fallen, to thank our wonderful first responders who have done so much in coordination with each other, and just to hold hands with family and friends, to cry, and to recommit ourselves to do all that we can so that this never happens again.
It has been a long day, as you can imagine, for everybody here, and like my colleagues and everyone here in Southern Nevada, have to thank the first responders, our law enforcement, the medical community here, our EMTs, everybody who ran into the face of danger to save lives, many lives that families now are concerned about, those who have been injured, families now who are dealing with the loss of loved ones. I, too, had a niece there last night at the event. She was one of the lucky ones who made it home, but there are many who are still injured and who did not. And now it is time for all of our community to come together to bring comfort and relief to these families. I know for all of us, this week is going to be about those families, those have been injured, and how we can do everything in this community to continue to support them, as well as supporting the ongoing investigation that needs to take place independent. Let them do their job. There'll be plenty of time to second guess. There'll be plenty of time to play politics. But right now is the time to come together as a community and support and comfort one another.
Well, good evening. I'm Mark Hutchison, Lieutenant Governor of the State of Nevada. And on behalf of the State of Nevada, I want to thank everyone who's already been thanked repeatedly today, and we're going to continue to thank them over and over again. Everyone who ran towards the bullets when everybody else was running away from the bullets, those who met the victims at the hospitals. I spent most of my day at the hospitals, and matter of fact, I just came from Sunrise. Sunrise took care of 214 of the victims. and performed over 90 emergency surgeries, just extraordinary efforts on behalf of our medical community. They handled this tragedy with competence and character, and we're very, very proud of them as Nevadans. I told you last time that UMC and Spring Valley both performed admirably. I spent some time there as well. If you arrived at any of those facilities alive, you are continue to be alive. I confirm that again this afternoon. It's just the best of the Nevada spirit, the best of our community. Las Vegas has been my home, born and raised here, raised six children here. And what we've seen today at the close of this day is the best and in the highest traditions of Las Vegans and Nevadans and Americans. You've heard story after story when you meet with these families about their guardian angels who were at that tragic site, who carried them out of harm's way or found vehicles and took them to the hospital. And it's just inspiring in a day that has been depressing and dark. It's inspiring to see what Americans do for each other. And so to all of those who have helped today, I say God bless you. And we'll get through this together with our faith in God and the American and the Nevadan spirit that we have. Thank you.
I'll take a small number of questions, and then we'll end it for tonight.
Mr. Assistant Sheriff, you went to 23 guns. Are they all rifles? And how do we explain the difference from 7 guns?
Well, Ken, like the sheriff explained earlier today, and as I explained moments ago, our information as the investigation continues can change. We put out the information that we have at that moment in time, and sometimes those numbers will change. But there are 23 firearms at Mandalay Bay and 19 out of his house.
What affects the investigation? Is it a homicide investigation? Are fit detectives involved? Is this case putting a strain on their manpower?
So I can tell you that it's a homicide investigation, and homicide is investigating that specific aspect of the crime. We have every resource available on our agency working, and I can assure you that the sheriff has made a point that we have resources both in the neighborhoods and around the community, as well as the Las Vegas Strip and downtown. That has not diminished. It actually has increased. Hold on, one at a time. Because. Pardon me? I have not personally gone through the entire list of victims, so I can't answer that question for you right now. Hold on.
The majority of the people in the world are not trained like yourself to know what to do when gunfire, you know, happens. If last night Jason Aldean had managed to save to the crowd, take cover before he ran off stage and took cover, do you think this could have saved lives?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know what Jason Aldean was thinking when he was on the stage. I do know that a common thing is when people hear gunfire, they run for cover, right? That's a natural human instinct. I don't know what he said before he left the stage, but the investigation will bring that out.
How long did Paddock shoot for? Was it continuous or did he stop? And I mean, how long do you think the shooting actually lasted? How long was he shooting out the crowd?
We are still putting that timeline together.
Can you give us a timeline of his movements?
When did he shoot the security guard, and did he continue shooting out of the window after he shot the security guard?
I know that he shot the one security guard up on the 32nd floor, but I don't know if he continued to shoot after that or not.
Detail on his movements, the 24, 48, 72 hours before the shooting. Detail on what he did, where he went.
That's what our detectives and our partners are working on right now. It will be some time before we are able to give you that in a chronological order and with a amount of confidence that it's accurate.
Have you made any progress at all on his motives? There's reports that he was sending money to the Philippines.
So like I said earlier, we're hunting down and tracing down every single clue that we can get in his background. Until we confirm all of those things that are floating around out in the media and in social media, I can't comment on that.
Two questions. Any timetable for when you're going to get those hard drives opened up and look into them that you found in Mesquite? Second question, did he specifically request that hotel room at the Mandalay Bay?
No, we don't have a specific timeline. I don't know that yet.
Did he have a computer in the room?
We did receive. We did see several pieces of media, including a computer.
Have you examined it? Does it give you anything about motive?
It's ongoing.
Special Agent Prowse, one other question. After the raid in Reno, can you tell us anything about what was taken there, if any weapons, explosives, computers, or clues that give us something about motive?
Nothing that I can speak of, and that scene is still being resolved as we speak.
Let me emphasize something to you that might help. I know that you are all very eager to find out exactly what his motive was or what was going through his head or what he was doing up to 2 weeks ago. I promise you the sheriff will provide that information when we have confirmed it. It doesn't make sense for us to put out information that is not accurate and isn't timely and reliable. So please have some patience with our agency and our partners to get you that information. I promise you we will provide it to you when the time comes.
Can you please tell me you got that many guns into a hotel?
What was your question, sir?
Just what time exactly did this room get breached?
I don't have. Do you guys have that?
I don't have it.
No.
I imagine someone must have that.
We have a time log of everything that we do. And that's what the detectives will be putting together as part of their investigation, is from start to finish and including that entire timeline. So we'll probably have more information on that probably tomorrow. So I'm going to take two more questions and then we're going to be done for the night.
How many guns got
the family center? The family resource center, is that just for families who are looking for loved ones, or is that where they go if they need help?
Resources that are being provided.
They can go there for help and resources, okay? If they're looking for a loved one or a friend and they're in town, they need to go there. It's at the convention center. Or the ones that are coming in, they can go there as well. They also have that 800 number that they can call ahead of time if they need to find out a piece of information. In the back.
Specifically about that search warrant, the additional one that you guys executed today, you were originally saying Northern Nevada. Can you now confirm that that was in Reno?
Yes. No, but I can tell you that that's part of our investigation of determining just that. Obviously, every hotel has video. I'm sure that we're going back and reviewing every ounce of that.
Is that possible that that number will go up even further?
I would say that in the areas that we've been so far, I would say no. But until we're done with the investigation, I'm not going to marry to that number. Okay? Last one, Ken.
At the hotel?
Not other than what the sheriff put out today at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock.
Are we confident that we've got all the guns out of the suite to the two rooms from which shots were fired?
Yes.
So you're confident that you have all the guns?
I'm confident in the number that I gave you of what we have recovered.
Can you guys
Mr. Sheriff.
All right, that's it. Thank you.
All right, Sam Rogowski here. Well, we just heard from a number of different people here speaking at the Las Vegas press conference. And what we have, I'll tell you, a whole lot of no new information. That was 20 minutes of nothing. And this is very normal. I mean, we're less than 24 hours after the event. Understandably, law enforcement is being very tight-lipped. We don't have access to a lot of firsthand information. Everything is getting parsed through very carefully by law enforcement. Because, look, frankly, one of the most important things when an investigation like this is underfoot, they want to make sure they get the straight scoop from their primary sources, right? They've got witnesses. They have people who are familiar with the perpetrator here, who's Stephen Paddock, 64, being described as a bit of a gambler, an accountant, supposedly a multimillionaire. But I'll talk to you a little bit more about that as I go through. So at any rate, they don't want to taint those sources. So they're not going to release information yet, and they're going to wait as much as they possibly can until they figure things out. All right, we're going to have to take a break here shortly. I do want to get into this. I have I have observations twofold. One, obviously it's way too early to draw any or make any huge conclusions about this event. But I do already have some degree of suspicion about the shooter that isn't necessarily being talked about much in the media. And then obviously one thing that's always interesting to me is the political implications and some of the ridiculous things that are being said about this event, very prematurely, by the way, irresponsibly by a number of people. We'll parse this all through. We'll be here for the hour and get to everything in due time. So don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, talking about the Vegas shooting. Just absolutely heartbreaking, especially now as word begins to trickle in about the 59 people who've lost their lives. Some of whom, naturally, of course, are from the Southland. And so this is something that touches us deeply. In fact, I had there's a coworker of mine who was on the phone with her husband's mother during the concert as shots rang out. She was very shaken today. I mean, this is just something that is unimaginable. I think just unimaginable when you find yourself in the midst of it. I think there's something interesting here. I want to point it out. The degree of attention has been given to Stephen Paddock's girlfriend, Mary Lou Danley. Now, she apparently, as all of this hell is breaking loose, she's in the Philippines. And apparently she is of Filipino descent, and maybe some talk of her being an Australian citizen. But at any rate, she's out of the country. And then in the middle of all of this, too, everybody's focusing on her. But it's his brother. It's this Eric Paddock character who is doing an enormous amount of press. Now, everybody reacts to stress, to tragedy, to loss, to shock in a different way. Now, I'm a skeptic of persons, of humans in general. And I think partly has to do with my trade. I'm a lawyer. I mean, you know, when I'm questioning an object of a deposition, some witness, some percipient witness, and I'm asking them questions. I want to catch them up. I want to get to the bottom of it. And I also look at how people are acting. You know, it's called body language, and you look at how people are acting, and you make some conclusions there. So this guy, this Eric guy, gives a number of interviews that I am going to characterize right now categorically. They are weird. This guy is an odd duck. And I'm curious if he's just an odd duck or if he's got something to say. So anyway, this is the first part of this interview. Have a listen to this, because he's talking about his brother's potential motives for committing this atrocity.
But I would love to be able to give you guys to give some reason to this.
Was he particularly, you know, hyped up about politics?
Nothing.
Or anything?
Nothing. No religious affiliation, no political affiliation, no. He just hung out.
And no history of mental illness?
Not a bit.
Yeah, not a bit. He wasn't particularly hyped up about anything. Nothing. No, absolutely not. He did nothing of the type. In fact, later in the interview, he calls him, he's just a guy that lives in Mesquite and eats burritos. Well, apparently it's a little bit more than that. So I want to devote some time to this because, let's listen to this. The reporter asks him, because they have an elderly mother. His mom is 90, 91. She lives in Florida. And the reporter asked him, what does your mom think of all of this? And this is the part where it gets really odd. Listen.
The last time she talked to him, no indication of anything. I mean, nothing. He was in Vegas and gone on a cruise or something, or blah, 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 blah. And see, I mean, he sent her a walker because she's having trouble walking. I mean, it's like I said, find out who sold him the machine gun. There's no... I don't know what else to say. I just...
Had he had any...
I mean, it's his fault that he did this. I mean, but I'd like to know where he found the machine gun.
This is a very bizarre thing to say. You know, your brother goes and shoots up 500 people, kills 59... You're looking for a reason. You go, hey, go find the guy that sold him the machine gun. You know what? Guy, leave, you know, get off my line. Find the guy that sold him the machine gun. I mean, that's the real culprit. You know what? I'm going to tell you, I read a certain political view here. Let me examine this a little bit when we get back. There's going to be a lot more to this. I promise you, a lot more to this as the story unfolds. Sam Rogowski. Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. John Wolfe up next with the news.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Phone number, if you'd like to be on the program, 1-800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com. Here on Monday night, it's been a long day, obviously, following the tragic events in Las Vegas last night. I went to bed early. And early for me is 10, which is right around the time when this was happening. And I normally am always watching the news. And I'm always, looking at news sites or, reading whatever. But I didn't last night. I went straight to bed, woke up at 4:30, and this is what I woke up to, just a nightmare unfolding. Now, during the press conference earlier in the hour, you heard Assistant Sheriff Todd Fazzullo talking about how ATF is involved. They're looking at the weapons. There's 18 different weapons that were confiscated or that are being reviewed in the room. One of the reasons that ATF is looking at these weapons is because of their automatic nature, right? So there's a little bit of gun background. You have revolvers, right? And then you have semi-automatic weapons, which can fire one shot at a time. And then you have fully automatic weapons, which is, like a machine gun, where you hold the trigger and it unleashes a volley of rounds. And that's what this was. Now, buying a machine gun, it requires a permit upon permit upon permit. I mean, you really, first of all, you can't own a machine gun in California, but in some states you can. My understanding is it requires a tremendous amount of permitting and background checks and stuff that he probably didn't have. Which means these weapons were modified, and that's what the ATF is looking for. They're going to look at these things very carefully, and they're going to figure out exactly, first of all, where he bought them. That's the big deal. You're going to find who sold him these guns, just like the brother was saying. Get more on that in a minute. But, where did he get them? He probably, when all is said and done, I'm going to speculate. He bought them. My guess is he bought semi-automatic rifles legally and modified them. And that's relatively easy to do. Everybody who works on guns, any gunsmith will tell you, it's a relatively easy thing to do. Now, it's highly illegal. And this is, by the way, the conversation about gun control, right? You make guns illegal, you're still going to find guns. You make automatic weapons illegal, you can still modify, you can still modify semi-automatic weapons to do this type of thing. And this, by the way, explains why there were so many weapons. When you're firing for minutes on end, this is not like the movies. When you're firing a weapon like this that has been modified, for minutes on end. They're going to jam. They're going to overheat. So he had multiple weapons, and this shows the amount of planning that went into it. So at any rate, that's some of the technical stuff. But getting to the motive, the only primary source that we have, the only witness, if you will, that is talking to us being the media and the public by extension, is Eric Paddock, the brother of the shooter. And he, if you've seen him on TV today, this guy is like the king of drama when it comes to bulging eyes and cocking his head back and you know, moving his arms. He's just a really dramatic gesticulator, put it that way. So some of this doesn't come across, you know, on air. I get that. But I'm going to play this clip again that I played at the bottom of the hour. Listen to this. Listen when he's asked. So, when's the last time you guys had contact with your brother, meaning Eric and his mom? They both live in Florida. This was Eric's response.
The last time she talked to him, no indication of anything. I mean, nothing. He was in Vegas and gone on a cruise or something, or blah, 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 and...
See, pause the clip right there. Pause it. Can we pause it? Okay, so very interesting here. The blah, 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 blah. Gone on a cruise, blah, 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 blah. Does that sound like somebody who really likes his brother? It doesn't. No, because... No, it sounds like the guy... Yeah, he was... The brother's a little... Is he miffed? Because they're in Florida. They were hit by the hurricane. He explains in a separate part of the clip how his mother had been out without power for 5 days. Then he goes on in the clip and he says, he just sent her a walker. So he's saying this is a guy who, but hear me out, because this is all important. He's saying this is a guy who, we haven't been in touch. We are not that close. I mean, he might have been on a cruise or he might have been, blah, blah, blah. Spending money, having a good time. But yeah, I sent my mom a walker. There's something here. I don't know. It's weird. It's odd. And the drama, because I've asked people. I know what I would do. If my sister Gabby... No, she never would. No. But if my sister shot up a bunch of people... The last thing I would do is talk to the media. I mean, the first thing, I'm a part of the media, but I would go radio silent. More importantly, I would be more interested in making sure that the investigation into my brother, my sister in this case, in my case, that the investigation into the crime was kept pristine. I am absolutely positive having been involved with a few investigations. My time, I'll tell you, this is the cops, I guarantee you, are telling him to just shut up. Stay out of it. Don't say anything, like keep quiet. That's the advice I guarantee you that they're putting out there. But this guy has this need. How many interviews did he do today? Two or three? Something like that. And they're long. I mean, we don't have time to play it all. I mean, it's long and kind of ranty and... He has this need to clear himself, to set the record straight that they didn't do it. And then he goes on and says in this clip how you really ought to talk to the guy. You got to find the guy who sold him these guns. That's the real, well, he's at fault, but you got to find the guy that sold him these guns. And that, of course, is a part of the conversation I think is very telling. Because there's two types of people today. There are people that are focusing on the motives of the man, of the person who committed this atrocity. We're focusing on his actions. And then there's people that, well, Hillary, yeah, she dove right in head first, that are making this a gun control argument. This is exactly as if the argument after, the Westminster Bridge attack was not, as I would say, the motive behind it is of course, was there was Islam, is saying we ought to ban minivans and we ought to ban knives. It's absurd. But it's especially interesting, the statement of the brother, in context of trying to make this guy into an apolitical saint. I mean, that always raises my suspicion. I'm going to come out and say it. When the media doesn't want to talk about a perp's, you know, violent intentions, their motivations committing a crime like this, they're either a devoted liberal or, you know, they're an Islamic terrorist. They never want to talk about it there. Now, Dylann Roof, we knew about his intentions the day of. It was all over CNN. But we don't have anything yet, and that always, it always raises my suspicions. I'm not drawing a conclusion. I'm just saying it's suspicious. And when I listen to this brother and I listen to this family tension and this desperate need to kind of, I don't know, to talk about this and find the guy who sold him the machine gun. You know, when the dust settles on this, it may be that nobody sold him a machine gun, that this guy modified it. And by all accounts, a smart guy, capable guy, and must have put his mind to this quite a while ago. And why he did it? Anybody who tries to tell you why he did it today is nuts. There's just nothing out there. I actually think the police probably don't have a clue yet, quite yet, until they investigate this further. So I'm not going to speculate in that, but I'm just an observer of the media. I'm always curious about what the media is doing, how they're reacting to this. So more on this Hillary tweet. I got to tell you about this when we come back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Listening to some of these responses, following some of these responses here that came out 7 o'clock this morning, Eastern Time. Hillary Clinton started tweeting about this, and I'm not saying the usual, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with the victims here, but I, you know, she immediately started talking about gun control. So quick. It was interesting, actually, to what she said. So here's her tweet. The crowd fled at the sound of gunshots. Imagine the deaths if the shooter had a silencer, which the NRA wants to make easier to get. Now, every semi-intelligent person immediately seized on this and shouted her down. But let me tell you why. It's interesting. So right now, the NRA is pushing for silencers to at least be allowed in more states. But the issue here is first of all, a silencer, or they're called suppressors, actually, would totally melt with automatic fire like this. They literally melt. Probably would have been a good thing if you'd had it on. It would have just stopped the whole thing. It's one of those things that just profoundly bothers me. It's so stupid. It's so irrelevant. It's so unhelpful. And you're going straight for the political gain, straight for the political angle. And the most important thing about it is nothing here is preventative. The entire gun control argument is so profoundly flawed because it relies on a fantasy land argument. Explain to me right now what we would have to do in order to have the kind of gun control that, I don't know, Piers Morgan and others are advocating for. I mean, you could not confiscate all the guns if you wanted to. There's just no way. It's impossible. You cannot put the genie back into the bottle. And who keeps the guns, by the way? It's the bad guys. Yeah. You know, also, another thing I'll tell you: if I don't, you look at some of these, I think, like, what is it? The AK-47 is essentially one of the most And it's a deadly weapon, right? It's an assault rifle, is what the liberals call it. But it's an interesting thing because anyone who is the least bit technical, who knows how to work, I don't know, anybody who can build a motor, let's say, can build a gun. I mean, we're not talking about some type of technology that the government bans and it can never be created. The black market would always exist, but this is classic liberalism. Reality doesn't matter to us. Reality, like the actual effect of legislation, no interest. Does it feel good? And yes, it feels great to say enough is enough. No more guns. Sounds great, but it's total BS. And I just think that the day of is, it's so tacky. So somebody else responded to Hillary Clinton saying, suppressors only reduced by a few decibels. Still same decibel level as a jackhammer. That's exactly right. They're exactly right on this. But yeah, the gun control argument, I look at Europe. They're mowing people down with vans. They're building bombs are illegal, right? I'm going to make this logical argument here. Follow me. Bombs are illegal, but people make them. You can't walk into a store and buy a bomb, can you? Last time I checked. But they're relatively easy to make, and they can kill. Frankly, bombs can kill just as many people as guns, if not more. The same thing is with weapons. It's just this argument is such a loser. And 3D printing, right? I mean, now we press a button and a printer can make an engine. So this is you're just not going to put the genie back in the bottle, no matter how much you want. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KBC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, what do you do? What do you do if you get into a car accident? Well, it's pretty easy. First, make sure that you're safe and sound. Give the police a call if needed. But after that's when the real struggle begins, because most people want to go palms up to the insurance company and just work things out. Don't do that. It's exactly the wrong instinct. It is. Instead, here's what you do. You call Attorney Sweet James Bergner. He's my friend, and he'll be your lawyer. And it's that easy. You just call him. I'm going to give you the number right now in case you don't remember it. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. You call James. You tell him what's going on. He'll give you good advice. And most importantly, he'll take care of everything for you. You'll know what to do, and he'll take care of it. And at the end of it, you'll get the justice that you deserve. All right? Don't trust the insurance company to take you through it and to help you. They won't. They're only going to help themselves. And when they help themselves, you lose. So 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Call Sweet James Bergner. Get the help you need and don't go at it alone. Also, check out his website. You can find out all sorts of good stuff there. And that is sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, we're back live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. And speaking of extremists, Bloomberg News is reporting that rich men with extreme political views have the happiest marriages. Am I in luck or what? it's funny. Some of the reasons for this is they tend to wait longer. And that is great advice, by the way. If you are 18 and contemplating marriage, Missy, what advice would you give? Is that it? Yeah? No. Hell no. H-E double hockey sticks, no. Yeah, you know, people that wait longer, they tend to they tend to be happier, certainly. But this is a very interesting thing. It was a study conducted by the University of Maryland Sociology Department. So people that have extreme political views, now it's not conservative or liberal, but extreme views that have strong ideas. And You know what I think? I actually think that part of this is my theory, if this is correct, my theory on why is that it's good to argue. I actually think it's healthy. I think when you have an extreme position, I'll explain this. If you have an extreme, if you're willing to be like me, basically an a-hole conservative, and you're walking around and you don't care what people think about you, you're not worried about that. You are perfectly fine expressing yourself and getting your point across. Well, you know what? In a relationship, you're more willing to get your needs out, to express your feelings or your thoughts or your reaction to something. I think one of the very unhealthy things in relationships, is it time for Love Nation? By the way, we're going to do that in February again, where I give really terrible, horrible, awful romantic advice on Valentine's Day. My thing is, I think a lot of marriages and long-term relationships suffer when people don't express what they're thinking or how they're feeling or what the other person is doing that annoys the hell out of you, right? And I think a lot of people do that. And so the people who have a strong political opinions have no problem expressing themselves, have no fear of backlash to expressing their opinion. And that's important. And so it's better to have the argument up front and get everything out of the way than suffer for years in an accommodating role. Missy, what do you think about that? Yeah, Missy agrees. Well, good. So anyway, I thought that was some interesting news. Now, we're out of time. We're going to tomorrow. We will get to Puerto Rico and all the nonsense that's going on there. Really interesting stuff. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Talk to you tomorrow.